I'm delighted now to be joined on the podcast by Xander Fagerson. Xander, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Well, great to have you on the podcast. Now, I know you've just came from a big double session at Orium. How was it for you guys?
Yeah, no, it was good. I sort of love these days, but also dread them. But it's great to get the work in and, you know, sort of, yeah, fine-tune a few things and work on a Dean attack. So, yeah, tough day, but a good day and boys looking sharp.
And Mossy, you'd have been at Orium today as well, working with the coaching staff. So all working towards that big game this weekend. Look, the boys looking good?
Yeah, I think they were. Say, Xander, and I thought the session the last couple of days have been really good. There was obviously sessions last week. And I suppose because of the close proximity to the Autumn Nations Cup, there's only been maybe 6 weeks or so. It doesn't seem like the first week of a Six Nations for me. Usually the first week of a Six Nations is so much to get crammed in from a coaching perspective, from a playing perspective, bringing all the different players for all different clubs together. And you overtrain at times, I find, or certainly when I was playing, you overtrain in that first week trying to cover everything. And, you know, from me standing, you know, at the outside looking in, it doesn't look like that. It looks like there's a lot of carryover from the Autumn Nations Cup, and it looks as if you're training well and in a good place.
And Xander, when we watch you on the pitch, you know, you're a very physical player, you know, being in the front row, quite a breeze. And you love getting in the middle of stuff, whether it's a collapse scrum or you're not afraid to kind of get involved. Is it the same at training as well? I know you guys are all mates and all friends, but, you know, you're all fighting for a position. You're all fighting to get your name on the team sheet. Do training sessions kind of have that similar edge to them as well, especially on a Tuesday before match game?
Yeah, no, I actually find some of the, especially scrum sessions, are actually tougher than in training than in a game, you know, because you know what the guys you're against, you know what they're good at, but they can bring stuff and they know what you're not good at, which is the main thing. So, yeah, no, I don't bring it that much in training. I've kind of got a switch that I can turn on for games, but it's definitely physical and confrontational. I really enjoy that side of the game.
How many live scrums would you do in a week? Does it change, or is there a kind of formula? Because you're going to be up to 10 scrums in a game. So,
I know it's pretty big. You know, when Peter came in, big thing he was talking about was like endurance. You know, sort of that fatigue. As you said, Mossy, you know, some games you get 10 scrums, other games you get 20. So it's all about that endurance and having that muscle endurance and being able to train on the fatigue. So I think last week, 'cause we didn't have a game, it was a bit more, you know, sort of. Maybe did about 45 minutes because we've got three front rows, which is quite good switching. And you're scrumming against someone different every time, which is making us all better. So, yeah, I could say maybe on a game week, we get about 12 scrums per person. And then on the week before, it's about 20. So, yeah, it's pretty brutal, especially the second rows who can't switch in. There's not the same amount as props. But,
Do they push, though?
Sometimes. I've got lucky. I've usually got the Greys or Gilco, and those guys sort of ease off.
They give it a go.
Not that much weight, so yeah, no, I'm pretty lucky on that side. But I know Scotty Cummins, and sometimes he needs a bit of the arse.
And what does training look like the rest of the week, working into the game?
So, yeah, we're sort of front loaded, especially in game week. As I was saying, like last week was a lot more getting stuff into structure and into shape and making sure all the boys' connection stuff were looking good. So this week, yeah, front load of the week. So today we double session. Yesterday was mitigated because we got tested. So no contact whatsoever, just going through plays, walkthroughs and stuff, and then going through our lineouts and whatnot, and then a gym session, and then tomorrow's day off. Thursday will be sort of a condensed session. So we'll do rugby and units close combined in the morning, and then we'll shoot off down to England afterwards. So it's definitely front loaded in the week. Really tough. You get through the 2 days, recover, go again Thursday, and recover again into Saturday. So it's a full on week.
Do you find you know, the recovery days now that you can't necessarily get out and about? Do you find it difficult to switch off because you are, you know, in that camp environment, you can't get away from it. You can't get away from each other as well. Do you find that, you know, with being in the bubble for a long period of time, it difficult to switch off on those recovery days?
Yeah, definitely. I sort of feel like, because the computers are like in the team room and stuff, you can, even if you want to go look at something quickly, you see boys in there for maybe, they go for 5 minutes and they're there for like an hour, you know. but no, we're really well looked after, and, you know, hats off to David Edge, team manager. Did loads of work, making sure we've got loads of stuff to take our minds off it. You know, we had a golf simulator in the Autumn Nations, which was class. Didn't help my handicap at all because on a simulator, there's no wind and there's no bad rain, but it was good fun to a bit of anger management. And then, we can get in the pool and stuff. So I started a diploma in financial advising, the start of the Om Nations, and just to keep me taking over. I did like a refresher course in the first lockdown, and then I thought, you know what, I've got a bit of spare time, but I'm just trying to catch up my sleep that I miss it when I'm usually at home with the kids. So I absolutely love it. But yeah, I think for boys, first couple of weeks are all right. It's then the tail end of the tournament, it gets quite tiring. But we're all good just now, and there's a lot of crack flying about, and lots and lots of coffees and cakes, so you can't complain.
It's all building towards that game, isn't it, Xander? The big game at the weekend, the opening game in the Guinness Six Nations, England away from home. You know, you must be just, now you know you're playing, you must be delighted to get going. But how exciting is it that, A, the Six Nations is getting going again, but also that you're playing against England, a team that we've actually got a pretty good track record against in recent times?
Yeah, and England are one of the top teams in the world just now, you know, so it's a great challenge for us. First game, come out the blocks and see where we're at. So, yeah, looking forward to it. You know, boys looking sharp. And I think for me, I think my wife reminded me, I got capped 5 years ago in this very game, first game in Six Nations. So I always love playing against England, and due to injury, missed out on the time we won at Murrayfield, and then the year after when we drew down there. So my last game against them was last Six Nations, when there wasn't the best day for the weather and the result. But really excited, and it's going to be a great challenge, and looking forward to taking it head on.
And does that mean you've not played them down at Twickenham?
No, I did. I played them 2018 in Twickenham when we didn't have our best day at the office. And it was 2017,
yeah. That was the, yeah, that wasn't great, wasn't it? That was a,
yeah, that was, that was, yeah, 61, that, I suppose, 21.
Yeah, yeah. Started off poorly, and then that's an example of what England can do to anyone. You know, they're such a dangerous team, and from my experience, and you'll be the same, your physicality has to be on point, absolutely, but your mind has to be on point the whole time. They'll stress you at Twickenham like not many venues you play at around the world, because they are potentially such a good side. So that focuses the mind as well. And with that, I suppose your most recent experience in there, you can warn the kind of the guys that maybe haven't been exposed to that, how detailed you have to be, or you know, it's a tough day at the office.
Yeah, big time, Ossie. I think, you know, they come flying out of the blocks every game they play. So especially at home as well, you know, I think looking back, and when we did get that draw 2 years ago, you think about that first half, they were so dominant, and then we got back in the game, you know. Imagine if we hadn't switched off the first half and we started the second half, you know. It was a game on. So yeah, exciting. But as you say, you know, just making sure the boys who are playing, who haven't played, like Cam and stuff, making sure they're aware that from the get-go, make sure you're ready to go.
What do you think the biggest challenge in England will pose?
I think you nailed it in the head. I think physicality-wise, if you're not there physically, they're a pretty tough team to break down, you know. We know they like to kick the ball, but they've also got a very good counter-attack, and they like their set piece. So, yeah, it's going to be a physical confrontation, and one I'm looking forward to, and definitely in the forwards pack, it's going to be where the game's won and lost, I feel.
There was a lot of chat in over the autumns around just kind of how unbreakable England's defence was. In terms of how you guys have been approaching the game from a tactical point of view, what kind of, I don't know, as much as you can give us in terms of what stuff are you looking to do to break down that defence?
Yeah, sort of impose our game on them, you know. As I was saying, you know, we've got to nail our set piece, and then we can just build our game on that. You know, it's sort of England thrive on stopping gain line. So we just need to get over the gain line and then keep building our phases. And I'm not going to give away too much, but we've definitely got a few plays, and we've definitely got the players to have a good crack. So really excited. But I also think, like, sort of the non-negotiable stuff that we need to make sure we nail is sort of, because we know there's going to be a lot of kicks, you know, it's just that, like, that kick cycle and stuff, and working hard off the ball. That stuff sometimes goes unseen, but to win the game, that's where we're going to have to be on the money.
There was something recently as well, I read that I think Eddie Jones came out and said they're going to change their game plan, or change and play in a different style. And this is kind of an open question to you, Rach, Mossy and Xander. Like, do you guys take that stuff on board, or is that all just kind of like media mind games to just try and throw people off?
I was going to say, I personally don't listen to anything that anyone says, especially someone like Eddie Jones, who, you know, just says things to get some kind of reaction. He plays the media like nobody else. So, no, if I was the boys, I definitely wouldn't be reading into that too much.
I agree with Rich.
I tend to agree as well, in terms of, if you think about it, I mean, why would England really need to risk anything? Do you know what I mean? Like, and what they would determine risk would both change in how they play, how they've played has brought them success. I think the pressure comes from, I suppose, the media in terms of wanting England to change because they haven't been the greatest to watch. But Eddie Jones will argue, listen, we've won the Autumn Nations Cup, we won the Six Nations. Yeah, we fell short of the World Cup, but what we're doing is working. I just hope that we see something new, something inventive from not particularly England, but just everybody. Just, I feel as if there'll be so many eyes watching this Six Nations Championship because there's so little else on.
No pressure, Tander.
As a supporter, as a fan, with my fans hat on, I want to see something new. I want to see something expressive. I want to see something dynamic that we haven't seen before. And I don't necessarily think that's a risk. I think doing the same thing that the defences are expecting over and over is probably a greater risk, but it's so hard to do. The players are so professional, they're so good, they're so detailed, they're so physical, they're so fit. It's hard to know what that new thing is, but wouldn't it be great in the next 5 or 6 weeks for certainly the lads in the blue to pull someone out of the bag and get us all talking about it?
Well, Rach Mossy, good to chat with Xander there, who's clearly looking ahead to the big game this weekend. You know, Rach, we talked a little bit about the scrums there and how much I think Xander enjoys, well, we can see it in match days, how he enjoys the physicality. What about yourself in training? Are you kind of one that does the same as Xander? Are you getting amongst it training, or do you reserve that for match day?
Oh, I'm kind of all or nothing regardless kind of player. So yeah, I just enjoy playing rugby. So I think you get the same from me in training and in games, which I'm not sure my teammates love. But no, I think I'm probably on the same wavelength as Xander in that, you know, it's always a bit daunting when you play an inter-squad game or you go into scrums or whatever for the front row, because like he says, you do know how to get to certain players and stuff like that. So it's always a little bit heated. And we've had quite a few as a squad hit outs within the squad because of obviously not having as many matches. And there's some interesting matchups in there, in for sure.
I just can't believe he said it was 5 years since he got his debut as well, five years ago. It's like he's still such a young player, but he's achieved so much and he's learned a lot along the way as well. And you think of the battle in that tight head side, WPNL there, Simon Bergen's there. I mean, there's depth, and he's certainly one who is feared by opposition. And the scrum, not just the scrum, but his ability to disrupt breakdown, his ability to and the collisions and the maul and the scrum, he's a fantastic young player. But just when he said 5 years, you just forget how young he is for how long he's been around.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think he's probably one of our most consistent players, particularly at the moment. And he, like you say, when you watch him play, you just think, oh, he must be so annoying to play against. You know, he's always over the top of that breakdown. He's always just putting in that extra little shove here and there, which he's doing fantastically well. And deserves kind of all the accolades he's getting as well because of the work he puts in around the park, for sure.
Yeah, I think he was 18 when he made his debut for Glasgow, and that was testament, I guess, to the team that he played with in the under-20s. You know, that was a really strong squad of boys. Mossy, you know better than me the kind of other boys that are playing with him, but I think would he have Blair Kinghorn as well in that
team?
Yeah,
Blair was playing. I think Hastel was playing. Jamie Ritchie was playing. I think maybe Scott Cummins. I mean, there was a big crop of them. Andrew Davidson, I think, all rough around that time. So a lot of them exile players as well. I think Rory Hutchison was there, maybe Alex Craig. So that couple of years. So it's it seems a long time ago as well. But the Six Nations is a tournament that traditionally is won and lost in being your basics done well, and the set piece has a massive effect on that, and Xander's a massive plus to the set piece of Scotland. So for all I'm talking about, you know, this spark that I'd love to see, that I think fans would love to see, what's really important in Six Nations is the nuts and bolts. It's a tough old competition, tougher than most competitions you'll play. You need to get off to a good start because it's a condensed tournament. I think playing away from home first up has its benefits, especially, you know, you can apply pressure on that home side where the home side potentially doesn't have the lift that it normally gets with the fans there. So I think there probably is, behind closed doors, more pressure on the home team without the bonus of being at home, if that makes any sense at all. And I think we can kind of build that with a solid set piece, a kind of ability to do your best to front up to the physicality that England will throw at you in both attack and defence, and Xander epitomises that.
Moss, we talk about the England game, and Rach, the England game itself, it is a huge game. It's, we build it up in ourselves in the media, and you know, but to put it to you guys who've actually gone and done it and played England, what is it like to play as England? Is it a bit different to other games? And also playing at Twickenham, Mossy, is that environment different than other stadiums? Is there more of an edge there? I mean, it seems, I've been there as a spectator and through work, it's, it has an intimidating aura to it, but what's it like as a player?
Oh, I loved it. I love it. It's an amazing place. It's a massive stadium. A lot of players, especially Scottish players, either hated Twickenham because it, you know, it does great on you. Similar to the English players coming to BT Murrayfield, in all honesty. That's what home, I suppose, advantage is all about. That's the kind of lion's den that you want to go into. And I loved playing at Twickenham because I felt, here's little old me in the middle of this 80,000 stadium with the world against you, and I've got the opportunity to try and do something about it. And I loved that backs against the walls mentality. I was never able to win at Twickenham, and it's too long since we've won down there, but I loved it. I loved the kind of the atmosphere that you were totally and utterly up against things. It was ferocious. It wasn't a nasty atmosphere at all. It just inspired me to bring the best out of me. But I suppose that's just what it's like playing away from home. But they are different games. They shouldn't be different games, really, because you should apply yourself, and we do, equally to every game. But there's an aura that surrounds this fixture that we can't ignore that does make it different. And it makes it unique every single time you play.
And Rich, same for you. I guess you, well, playing in England as well, and you've got loads of pals down there. You'll know them quite well. So a different approach for you, different edge for you.
Yeah, you know, I love playing England. I think for us, particularly, you know, in the women's game, they're on a bit of a different level at the moment in terms of, particularly in the European teams, they are the best. And for us, you know, with all the history that goes with Scotland v England, it's an opportunity for us to go into a game, and we've got absolutely nothing to lose. And, you know, it's like Mossy says, you know, having that pressure on you can be detrimental. So I think going into a game without any pressure, you know, having the opportunity to play arguably the best team in the world is such a massive opportunity. And that's how I always like to approach a game against England. And like you say, I play week in, week out against and with most of the girls in that team. And I think it does just kind of give you that little bit of added confidence going into it, that you do know a little bit more about them, and it creates a little bit of that rivalry. But I actually love playing England, and with the history, like I say, that goes with it, just makes it even more special.
Well, Rach, you and I caught up with Xander earlier on, but we've got the team now, we understand the team, we know the team. Are there any surprises for you?
No massive surprises, Chris. I think, you know, seeing Cammy Redpath in there, it's a talking point, but it's not a surprise. I mean, you've talked about it already, how good he is, and hopefully he shows that in the Scotland shot. And then, you know, it's a strong-looking team, strong-looking pack in particular, and, you know, it's an exciting time to be a couple of days ahead of going down to Twickenham.
I know, it's a massive challenge, isn't it? But Xander seems up for it, and has said earlier on, you know, the lads are training well. Of course they're training well, preparing well, but Rach, we touched on the physicality that's needed in the Six Nations, especially against England. And it looks like a well-balanced side, bulk up front and strength in the bench. So again, we kind of nod to the depth that the squad has at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, looking at your pack, you've got a good variety there in terms of that, you know, bulk in terms of physicality, but also, you know, your dynamic players in Hamish Watson and Jamie Ritchie as well. And and Scott Cummins, who's just been, you know, outstanding the last year or so. So in terms of the pack, for sure. And then, you know, you've got Finn Russell coming back in there, and we just know kind of how much magic he can bring when he's on his day. So it'll be exciting to see him back. And like you say, some exciting names in the back line and a good balance as well. So and good to see Hoggy back as well, because he's obviously been out for a little bit with injury. So always good to see him on the team sheet.
I was just going to say, he played well last week against Worcester.
He did, actually.
They had a better first half than they did the second half. And then Johnny Gray was exceptional in that game. So they're bringing a bit of form into it.
That was one position, Al, I was going to understandably ask you about second row. I mean, you could have gone with any of you know, yeah. Grant Gilchrist is back and he's in the squad, although he's not in the 23. And, you know, you've got the three, Richie Gray on the bench with Johnny getting the start alongside Scott Cummins. Any of those three or four you could mix in and be delighted with. You know, it's a, that's a competitive old position, isn't it?
It always has been, because always
has. Needs to walk in there.
Last man standing, you'll get a game.
Get through
saving. The fact that Sam Skinner and Ben Tillis are not in the mix, and you say Grant Gilchrist is massively unlucky to miss out. I mean, Richie Gray's form's been great, especially the turn of the year. He's come back.
I thought he might start.
I think he would have been up there for starting, but who do you drop as well? Because like Johnny's been playing well, consistently well in the Scotland shirt for a long time, and he's, you know, again moved on another level, being down next turn. And Scott Cummins is arguably the form player of the last couple of years. So Richie's grabbed a bit of form in it. Like, he can push his way back in. He's an incredibly talented guy. He could start, but I think experience coming off the bench is called for. That and the ability to maybe calm down Gary Graham, who'll come off the bench and imagine he'll be in there to mix things up if necessary.
But you see off the bench as well, and that reaches, that's a key point as well. You're looking for impact off the bench, and that group of second rows gives you, no matter what, I suppose, balance you go with. Somebody like Richie coming off the bench with his ability to hit lines, run hard, get his hands free in the contact, and the brilliance of Scotty Cummins and Johnny on try-scoring form as well, it does give you that experience, but it also gives you impact off the bench as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, we've talked a lot about England's physicality and probably don't want to go on about it too much, but, you know, having, I think, you know, the combination of Johnny Gray and Scott Cummins starting, potentially bigger ball carriers, you know, wear them down that first, whatever it will be, 60 minutes potentially, and then bring Richie Gray on to finish it off and run those kind of more dynamic lines. I think it's a great combination to go with. And like Al says, you know, the competition in that position is ridiculous at the moment. So it's a good place for Scottish rugby to be in.
Good. It'll be important for Richie to get his arm around Dave Cherry, because Dave's likely to have a big part to play in the game. And, you know, having the combinations of line-outs that they'll be looking to execute what will be massively important. I wouldn't be surprised seeing those guys coming on to the park together.
Yeah.
Another name you mentioned, Rach, was Finn Russell coming back in, and we all know what Finn brings and how well he's playing, but how closely, I mean, this is an obvious answer, he's going to be marked really closely, but how valuable is he in the sense that he'll take so much attention from the English defence that it potentially creates space elsewhere? Because he is a talking point. Every little bit of kind of snippet from the English camp, it talks about the ability that Scotland have to create stuff, and a lot of that is hinting towards, you know, not just Finn, but centres around Finn. So you'd imagine he'd be pretty closely watched, and it's exactly what you want, to create space for somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be stupid as an opposition to not keep your eye on him, and I think, like you say, he probably will be a wee bit of a target. But the beauty of the way Finn plays is he's not someone that, you know, he's going to get the ball and he's going to do this. He could literally do quite literally anything. And pull it off. So he's a brilliant player to have in your team. But like you say, he'll be putting the likes of Cameron Redpath, Chris Harris into space and hopefully creating opportunities for us. So it's brilliant to have him back, and I'm extremely excited to see him play.
And Cam can help with that as well, Al. Like, honestly, he has Cam, although it's his first cap, he plays in England, he plays against the players he'll be facing often. He's trained with them. He's played with them. He'll know their strengths. He'll know their weaknesses. But he's also got a bit of number 10 behind him as well, and understanding how to share that workload and share that thing, get a first receiver either side of the breakdown. You don't want to heap too much pressure on him, but he'll be important in that access to, I suppose, keep shifting the target and try and break down the English defence. Like we said to Xander earlier on, it's so physical and been so dominant, really.
Yeah, no, he's got a big role to play. I think, especially in the first game, the players around about him, you talked about Finn there, Chris Harris outside, even Ali Price. I was so impressed with Ali Price's role in bringing Ross Thompson into the 1872 game. I thought he looked after him really well. This is different. This is a different level. This goes up again, especially with everything that's going on in the background.
Dogs barking.
Yeah, dogs barking. That's mine down the stairs.
Your background.
I told the kids I was on a podcast, but the dog's not working. Not listening. But yeah, I think the role of the players around about him will it won't be the determining factor, but it will be a significant factor in how he plays as well.
I think as well, you know, if he can bring the likes of Doohan into the game, you know, we know if we can get ball in hand with him, you're gonna see him breaking the line, you're gonna see him making breaks. And it was, I think, the second game of the Autumn Nations Cup when Finn came off. Actually, it'll be the first game when Finn came off the bench, and he, you know, I think Doohan told us he just had a word for him. He said, "Stay on my inside." Mm-hmm. He put him in a lovely bit of space and threw for his first try. And I think if we can get him on ball, we're going to see something exciting. So I think that'll be a big thing as well.
Yeah, we look forward to it. It's the first game's always a bit of an unknown quantity. There's always pressure, tension, everything riding on it, you know. And I suppose the key as a player for all the years we played in it and continue to play in it, Rach, is not to get too high if things go well, and not to get too low if they don't go quite to plan, because it is a condensed format. But that real, said boring, but that real kind of critical analysis of the performance is what's going to determine what happens next, rather than getting too carried away one way or the other.
Yeah, it's a long tournament. You've got a lot of teams who are playing well. So I think taking each game as they come and just focus on one game at hand and doing the best you can and evaluate and move on. It's boring, but sport.
It's sport, yeah. You'd agree with that, Ali?
Yeah, absolutely. The journey throughout a championship is massively important. Like, I would break that down to set piece, and you know, you need to build throughout it. Now, emotionally, you've got to be able to manage that as well. Mm-hmm. Whether that's your own individual emotions or the team's emotions, if it's too much of a roller coaster, like it is for the fans, then you're not going to get the same out of yourself. So that's the environment that Greg, Greg's an expert in that environment now. He's just got to manage it. It's a tough start to go down there. But it's probably not a bad time to get them. Yeah. When you look at the couple of injury concerns, everybody's preparation's been a wee bit disrupted. England are one of the best teams in the world, but that's why we like to go down and try and spoil the party.
Some good news this week, Rach. You've got a condensed format, but in April you're going to, hopefully, pretty sure, get the opportunity to continue some rivalry and get the ball rolling with the Six Nations.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to believe it until the whistle goes, if I'm honest with you. But no, really exciting just to have something to work towards in terms of dates, and also a bit exciting to try out a new format, a new time of the year to play in. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes down at doing it, you know, in a different window to the men. And I think it could be really positive for women's rugby. You can try to, you know, build a bit more momentum behind it and get people kind of buying into the women's game as well. But yeah, super exciting for us as players to have something to work towards, and can't wait to get going.
So you're in a pool with England and Italy.
Italy, yeah.
One guaranteed one home game? Is that how it worked?
Yeah, so I think we have Italy at home, then England away. I'm not sure on location of that. And then the playoff game will be at home as well. So it's not as long a championship as you're used to and have that big development. So it's actually really kind of all or nothing games, I guess you could look at it. So it's quite exciting to try something different in terms of format, similar to the Autumn Nations Cup format that the boys had. So yeah, we'll see. Good opportunity to get back to our home ground that we love in Scotstoun as well, and get a few games there.
It won't be long coming in April. And Al, the under-20s are going to play in a kind of summer window, June and July. Something similar as well. The Junior World Championship obviously can't take place, and the Six Nations wasn't able to take place. So there'll be almost like an amalgamation of those tournaments with under-20s, which is great for our young lads to get some representative rugby, to get any rugby, because they've been so long without it.
Definitely. And I saw something written about the fact that it's so important for that generation of players, that under-20s generation of players, to get that experience. And I completely agree with that. I mean, you know yourself, albeit a while ago now for both of us, you learn a huge amount of lessons through that as well. So it's great to see. But, you know, just good to see things getting put in as well. And to Rach's point about having something to look forward to, that's not just from a playing point of view, that's all the fans as well, spectators. As we look at these dates, and you know, it's something to look forward to. I think the women's format, Rach, will be brilliant. It could be, you know, make for an incredibly exciting tournament. I do agree with you. I like the fact that there's a standalone window for it. It gives you the opportunity to, there's a dog away again, gives you the opportunity to
is
to
step out of the shadows.
The dog's homeschooling. It's, the dog's homeschooling is not going well. Well, it's not going well at all.
Duddy Gump continues to break records. £1 million raised so far. It continues, obviously, till the cup match on the 6th. But again, I mean, we had the guys on a couple of weeks ago, and you could just the infectious personalities. It's spreading the word, and all the rugby community and the wider community come together. But £1 million, or over £1 million raised, effectively in a month. It just goes from strength to strength, doesn't it?
Ah, it's brilliant. It really is. There's about 17 different WhatsApp groups that I'm involved in for this Duddy Gump stuff, but the gist of it last night was talking about the fact that, you know, £1 million is an incredible amount of money to raise, but in the back of that, there's the awareness that's been raised, which can only help fight for, and Jill Douglas described it to me, it's a curable disease, it's just underfunded. So MND, there's a potential to find the cure for it, it just needs that funding to be able to enable the research. And the other massive positive I believe came out of this is that, for me anyway, and for anybody else I believe that's been involved, it's been enjoyable. Yeah. So in a world where we're restricted in what we can do, and you're actually only walking outside with your family or maybe one person from our household, you're getting outside, you're forcing yourself to do it. And like myself and the kids have been out doing a lot of dog walking and a bit of running, and
Until you pull your calf.
No, look at Rach, you've said that now. I've got all the way through January without my calf going. I've done 125 miles or so, either walking or running, which is significantly up for me, although I am disappointed that it's not got any easier. I thought it would be easier.
Yeah, no, I think the enjoyment aspect of it's been massive. I jumped on the World in a Day cycle at the weekend, and, you know, it was brilliant to see so many people just having a good time, exercising and engaging with the process throughout the whole day. So I think, you know, the way they've raised the profile, got people active, raised incredible amount of money, it's just unbelievable, and it's so good for MND.
You got a bike in the house, Rach?
I've got a road bike that I've got on a turbo.
And a turbo. Mossy, have you?
Turbo? No.
No. I feel as if I'm missing out on something.
To be fair, it's like the lockdown activity, everyone seems to do it.
You could go cycling on Sundays with Sir Chris Hoy.
Aye.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Could do. Get left with dust.
I hope you get a head start.
You need a head start.
And now the final really big bit of news really for Scottish Rugby is as the Chief Operating Officer Dominic Kai has had massive news this week. He's leaving the business. He's progressing to the CEO role at Celtic. Now, Dom's somebody we've all worked closely and I've been involved with and has made a massive difference at Scottish Rugby, but it's a wonderful opportunity for him to progress in a pretty important and high-pressure role, isn't it?
It is. It's a brilliant opportunity for him, but yes, it's an important and high-pressure role. I think he'll go into it with his eyes wide open. From his impact in Scottish Rugby, as you say, we work very closely with him. But he's had a massive impact and he's done a phenomenal job, and it's because of that phenomenal job that he's been given the opportunity to do what he's going to do next. But yeah, they'll come with different challenges, but challenges, as I say, that I'm sure he's fully aware of and looking forward to.
Yeah, he has had a massive impact with Scottish Rugby in a whole series of different ways over, 11 or 12 years or maybe even more. So he's... we will look forward to that new role. Celtic fan as well, so it's a team he grew up supporting, and it's a fantastic new role.
Don't forget, your Scotland Supporters Club memberships are now available for sale at scottishrugby.org. Thanks very much for listening, and we will see you again next week.